Tonight, we want to give you a practical application of that passage Micah just read, where the workers in the Lord's vineyard had returned to their home congregation and gave a report on all the amazing things that took place. While it's impossible, really, for us to squeeze a full report of everything in the few moments that we have, let me encourage you to go on the website here at the Dalready Church Missions website and read the reports, or you can get on my website, Kackelman.com, and there we will have some of the reports, not only from the church group, but also my personal reports that went. And if you're on the mail list, you receive those automatically. But we made this trip in October. And I went prior to the group coming, and then Simba, Giff, and I stayed after the group returned. But the main emphasis was in the Ivano-Frankivsk Oblast, the region there. And our emphasis was made as a combination of efforts. We wanted to help to build the congregation up. We also wanted to broaden the influence and the reputation of the congregation. Those that went on this trip was Nick and Maggie Behrman, Caleb Colquitt, Gifford, Simba Gifford, myself, Chip McEwen, Nick and Elizabeth Revels, and Doug Schofield. And as we divided up, we had a number of different tasks that were assigned each day. A number went to the public schools where they would teach English, and in that we were able to recruit students for the evening classes. We got there at this time, and Monday was a national holiday. Actually, there was three holidays on one day. And so Monday was basically lost, although we did utilize that by going to the village of Zelina, where Doug and Caleb would go, and they had a phenomenal result on that. But we went into the schools. We also followed up on some of the shipments that we did into that area, and the response was very favorable and just overwhelming gratitude. And I was asked repeatedly to thank the Dalready Church of Christ for their concern and their sympathy. I was able on some of my interactions to show photos of our loading containers, sorting miscellaneous medical items that were sent to the hospitals and clinics in that area. And all of that is because of this congregation and your eagerness and willingness to help. Just last week, we loaded a container going to Moldova that the value was over $460,000. And the reason why is because it was stacked from floor to ceiling in that container with miscellaneous medical supplies that many of you helped to sort and to package, and we put those on. We were able to load 28 pallets in that container, and we did that because we were able to take them apart and load each box, and we probably could have gotten at least two more on there, but that's an amazing amount. But you have a reputation, you have gratitude that you'll never hear from folks that you'll never see, but they know that you're a Christian, they know that you're a congregation of the Lord's people, and they are very happy and thankful for that. I have a couple of thank yous that I want to read. Every month, I'll put out a newsletter, Ukraine Missions newsletter. A number of you are on the automatic subscriber list, so you get these automatically in your email box. I did put out several of these in the front and the back lobbies, but in this one was the October trip, and there were several thank you letters from your brethren over there. Let me just read what they wrote. This is from a young lady named Oksana. She lives in the city of Chernobyl. And Oksana, many of you know her, that's been there. Wonderful sister in the Lord. She says, "Hello, dear brothers and sisters. That week of campaign was a huge blessing for me. I had a privilege to translate for Doug and Caleb and Zelina. They did a marvelous job at school answering tough questions, presenting the Church of Christ to the students and teachers. They also taught one family from the village about God and salvation with such meekness, yet standing firm on the truth of God's word. I was amazed at their ability to overcome cultural differences and come across as loving and friendly, never imposing. I have learned a lot from them about the proper attitude of true evangelism that combines sincere care for the souls and a deep knowledge of the Savior. It was also so great to meet with Elizabeth and Maggie and their husbands. These two couples are the best, and she emphasized the best. And incidentally, Nick the Bearded One, or as they call him in Ukraine, Nick the Viking, was a hit, and he and Maggie did great. And Maggie, she's the star. She reached her accomplishment of keeping up walking with me, and so we're proud of that. And she was able to keep up in that. And we salute both Nick and Maggie, and so do the Ukrainians. But Oksana said they're the best, and so great with kids and young people. I had a wonderful time translating for Elizabeth, Maggie at the kindergarten, enjoying the time with kids and also deep conversations with the principal. Thank you again for giving me this opportunity to serve with these wonderful people. We have had a number of letters like that, and if you didn't get a copy, there are still a few that are left in the front and the back. I picked up one, and I'll have it if you want to get it from me tonight. But if you want to be on the mail list, all you have to do is give me your email address and a legible form that me and my old eyes will be able to look and see and put you on the list, and we'll be glad to subscribe you to that. We have, over the past year, had some issues with some within the Ukraine government, and I'm happy to report that those issues are appearing to be resolved. But it's kind of like that pop-up game, you know. Once you knock one down, two others pop up. And so just this last week, I get this communication saying, well, they're saying now that you can't send any clothes to Ukraine. And that's the most ridiculous thing. And so here we go again. And after a week's back and forth on that, it seems that, you know, maybe that is not going to take place, because there is tremendous need for that. And our influence, again, is being seen in the efforts that we're making. Just a very brief word about our working with the government there. Several have asked about that. And actually, with the new administration, I'm happy to say that we are receiving good and favorable results from that, and they are very interested in cooperating and working with us, and I want to send the message that we are interested and willing to cooperate with those that have integrity and those that will work with us as well. One of our objects in going over on this trip was to help to nurture and mature the congregation. And one of that was we're changing the way in which we're operating with that. We are asking them to assume some responsibility as far as their budgeting and financial responsibilities, where we're just not doing it for them, but they're doing it. If we want them to mature, then obviously they've got to do that. And Gif and Simba stayed behind and encouraged that. And I've asked Gif if he would to give a brief report on that. Following Gif, we got Brother Doug that's going to wind up the presentation. And he is going to talk about the evangelism and the spiritual emphasis that we have in those efforts. So much more can be said, but we just ran out of time. So I'll turn it over to Gif.
So we think about the passage that we read just a moment ago from Acts chapter 14. You know, a lot of that comes right after the end of Paul's missionary journey. And I was reading through that chapter earlier today just to kind of prep up for what I wanted to say tonight. And a couple of the things that I noticed in there are the focus of what mission work should be. You know, ultimately the focus is we want to go and we want to save souls. We want to bring people to Christ. And we want to grow the church numerically, but we also want to help the church grow spiritually. And so as you read through and you get down to about verses 21, 22, and 23 in Acts chapter 14 there, it says that Paul goes back to, he goes back to Lystra, and he goes back to Iconium, and he goes back to Antioch, and he begins strengthening and encouraging the churches. And then he establishes elders before he leaves. And I think the example that that gives us is showing that, you know, yes, we do want to go in. We want to save souls. We want to help establish churches. But eventually, what do we want to do? We want to leave, because that church should be able to stand on its own. That church should be able to have its own leadership. And so that's kind of the goal that we're getting at with the congregation here. Is we've been working with them for a long time, and they have grown well. They've grown numerically. They've grown spiritually. And they don't quite have men who are ready to be elders yet. They don't quite have men who are qualified. But one of the things that we stressed as we started talking to them is we read through 1 Timothy chapter 3. We read through the qualifications for elders and deacons. And we talked about, okay, you know, in the future, there's going to come a point where you will have elders and deacons. These qualifications are what is needed. So it would be good to go on ahead and hold yourselves to some of these standards now, as preparation for when you do fill that role. So we walked through some of those things with them, and then we started talking about some of the responsibilities that they would have as leaders in the church. And so as we start shifting some of the responsibility from Dalreda onto them as they try to grow and mature, that is the big thing that Simba and I stayed behind to do, was help establish how do we control the budget? How do we set up the money that comes in through here, and how do we use it in the most effective manner to spread the gospel of Christ? Now, first and foremost, if you ever need a spreadsheet done, apparently Simba is the man to do it. Because who knew that two columns and using formulas in those columns was all that it took to create a budget? I tell you what, none of us in the room sure did. But Simba knew how to do it. And, you know, here I was thinking, okay, I remember learning this in college, but everyone was just so in awe. When he put it up on the PowerPoint, he started showing them, okay, you've got column A here, you've got column B here, and you can make these two columns add up to each other. And everyone went, all right. You know, it's amazing some of the things that will astound people. So anyway, if you ever do need a budget done or some kind of spreadsheet done, I believe Simba does them at a small charge of 72 hryvnia per hour, which I think works out to about 16 cents. But we did take them through some of the more practical parts of setting up the budget. Here's how we here's how we plan for each month. Here's how we decide where money goes during each month. But some of the things that we talked about them with during this point were a bit more spiritual. We talked with them about, you know, when you are leading the congregation, and especially when it comes to money matters, the first and foremost thing that you need to be doing is being focused on evangelism. And I have great news. We didn't even need to tell them that. As we started talking about, you know, where the money that comes in needs to go, the very first thing that they said is we have three places that we know we can spread the gospel. And so they said, we want to add line items in our budget for that specifically. And I thought that was really cool. I didn't suggest that to them. That was their focus, and that's what they wanted to do. So they have an evangelistic mind, just like the church here does. They want to use all of the money as much as they can to spread the gospel. And obviously, you know, as we look at budgets and as we look at, you know, how the church operates and things, obviously there are things that we have to do with money, you know, to keep the lights on and to keep ourselves in a building and things like that. And they have to do the same. You know, they're focused on, they're trying to build their own church building right now. Currently, they're meeting in a little room in a building that they're renting each month. Well, as they continue to think about building this building, eventually they want to stop paying that rent money and move into this building that they're building. So they're trying to allocate some of the funds that come into that. But all of what they are trying to do is to promote evangelism and to promote the gospel in that part of Ukraine. And again, I just thought it was really, really heartening that it was not our suggestions that led them toward wanting to evangelize. That came from them. That came from their desires and their want to take what they are getting. Because, in reality, they are getting, a lot more than many others in their area are getting. They are receiving a lot of funds from American churches. They're receiving a lot of funds from their weekly contribution and things like that. And they want to use that to help spread the gospel, just in the same way that we would, because the church is the same throughout the world. We know that we have an ultimate goal of seeking and saving the lost, and that is what we should be trying to do. One of the other things that we focused on with them is communication with the congregation, listening to the needs of the people who are there and not staying so far back away from the people and saying, okay, because we're the leaders or eventually because we're the elders and deacons, we're not staying so far back and so far removed that we don't hear the needs of the congregation. And as we talked about that, we went through Acts chapter 6 with them. We talked about, you know, the Greek people and the Jewish people who were there and how the Greek widows were being neglected. And so, you know, they came together and they appointed men to be over the daily feeding of the people. And as we talked about that, we said, you know how they knew this? Do you know how they knew the problems that were going on? It's because they listened and they communicated well with the church that was there. And so one of the things that we were trying to speak with them about, and I don't think that they're ever going to have a problem with because they all seem to be very humble, is not having an elitist attitude just because you control the budget and not having some kind of high and prideful, attitude because you're in charge of the funds or you're in charge of this particular part of the congregation. In the end, we were encouraging them to all work together, not just on the budget, not just on funds and money, although those things are important, but ultimately towards evangelism, towards building the congregation there spiritually and reaching out the gospel to as many people as they can. Overall, I think it was very profitable as we met with the men each day. We started off with I guess 7 or 8 of the men who were there, and they would meet with us each morning. We lost a couple who had to go meet with John a little bit later on, but for the most part, we had very solid meetings that were profitable, not just for them, but also for us, to get a moment to work together and to sharpen each other as we talked about not just the physical needs of the church, but also the spiritual needs that were there. So now we'll let Doug come and finish us off.
I thought about not using notes, and I said, nah, we'll be here till midnight. So, what a wonderful group of people this was. What a joy it was to be associated with such a fine group of Christians. You know, there are many people involved in this work, and it all begins here with you, the Dalreda congregation. You help support mission efforts by financial contributions, by filling buckets, by sorting goods, by loading aid containers. Every dollar, every little bit of labor, every thought and every prayer is meaningful and deeply appreciated, and I hope to illustrate that point to you before we finish. On Monday, our entire group was invited to the little village of Zelnya, a village in the Carpathian Mountains where doors of opportunity are opening as a result of the humanitarian aid containers that they've received. The people there are asking to know more about this Church of Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful question to be asked. The road to Zelnya has its own version of local traffic jams. Now, the roads went from bad to worse to even worse. Have you ever heard that voice on the Google Maps say, you've reached your destination, now walk the rest of the way? Well, we did. But the journey was rewarded. When we arrived, there were pig wings roasting on a wood fire. And they were delicious. There was also varaniki and banoche, and of course that delicious Ukrainian borscht. And that was just the beginning of the feast prepared for us by Bogdan and Galina. Of course, in Ukraine, everyone gets in on the hospitality, including the family cow. Gertie, the family cow, provided milk for the guests. I think not everyone was as appreciative as they could have been, but it was quite a treat for some. After lunch and a cordial visit, we went for a little trip up the mountain beyond the village. We climbed to an elevation of about 4,000 feet, there to see a very special piece of property. One of our hosts, whose name was Taurus, was our guide. This is on the way up the mountaintop. Taurus and his brother were in the process of building a mountaintop retreat when Russia attacked Crimea. Taurus and his brother had worked together on this for a number of years. But as often happens when war breaks out, brother turns against brother. And Taurus and his brother have parted ways. There's not been any violence between them, but their dream of a mountaintop paradise now lies abandoned. There was a mountainside there that you may want to discuss with Caleb and the Giffords about how to climb a mountain. There was a there's a story there. But Taurus invited the group then to his home when we came back down, where he and his family served an assortment of delicious refreshments. And I'm confident that there will be Bible studies taking place in this living room in the future. Caleb and I were privileged to spend several hours over 2 days with Bogdan and Galina and various members of their family, including their daughter and her husband and her father, who was 84. He had a lot of deep questions that we were able to discuss with him. The family overall had questions about the church, about baptism, about heaven, about the Holy Spirit. And so it was quite an exercise for us. And how fortunate we were to have Oksana, because she has a master's degree in Bible. You might say we cheated just a little bit, but she was a wonderful translator. Of course, she had to work twice as hard as we did. She had to talk twice as much and filter out all of our colloquialisms and idioms. But it was quite a wonderful experience. But clearly, Bogdan and Galina know what they must do without any question. But the influence of the Orthodox Church and fearing disfavor of the community has given them what John called the Agrippa complex. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian, Acts 26:28. They're very close to obeying the gospel, though, and still reluctant because to let go of their Orthodox ties. We have heard from them, and they are still thoughtfully considering their decision, so there is hope. The Orthodox Church has a stranglehold on most of the villages and towns in the surrounding area, and the people love the traditions and are reluctant to give them up. One morning, with Oksana as our translator and Ruslan our driver, Caleb and I were invited to attend the Cossack Day festivities at the local school. The children were dressed in period costumes and reenacted many historical aspects of Cossack life with games and competitions and cooking contests. And we were asked to judge a cooking contest. I see Caleb shaking his head. That was good memories, wasn't it, Caleb? Because one of the items that they cooked was our mutual favorite, the varenicky. But Caleb also was invited to give a talk about American history to the students, which was very impressive. The students and the teachers and many parents participated in the activities. So our presence seemed to have an impact on the adults, especially the teachers and the principal. When we visited the classrooms, the students were excited to have an opportunity to meet and talk with Americans. They asked a variety of questions and even some about the church. One ninth grader asked Caleb, "Please tell me, how do you worship?" Caleb's well-stated answer seems to have impressed the young man and others in the class as well. True New Testament worship is very different from Eastern Orthodox traditions. As we were about to leave, the principal asked the question, "Please tell me exactly why you have come." We told him, "We're here to talk about the Church of Christ." He shook my hand very cordially and said, "You will always be welcome here." Doors of opportunity swinging wide open. When Russia invaded Crimea in 2014, the atrocities were brutal. Churches and schools and even hospitals were bombed and many were killed. Families were torn apart and lives were changed forever. There was much destruction. And here's where it comes down to an individual point. Because this is Ina. Ina was a professor at the University of Donetsk. She is a Ukrainian loyalist, her former husband a Russian sympathizer. Their differences became so sharp that he was plotting with the Russians to kill her. But she managed to escape. the refugee service sent her to a shelter in Ivano Frankivsk, and there she was given one of those buckets of blessing. She was overwhelmed by the kindness. She saw the label and she said, who would do something like this, especially for someone who's never seen you? She sought out the congregation in Ivano Frankivsk. And after attending services for a time and studying the scriptures, Ina became a Christian. It's still difficult for her and her son, Svetoslav, to maintain a living, but you would never know it to meet them. So please don't ever think that you are not important to the Lord's work, because somebody packed that bucket. Someone passed that bucket to be loaded onto a container. Someone prayed. And who's to say that it wasn't your prayer that God answered by His providence, which enabled her to escape? We should never underestimate the power of prayer. It could be that that extra dollar you put in the plate helped to pay the freight to deliver that bucket. It is certain that even the smallest act can become a blessing of eternal value to someone. As you know, of course, the very same blood that took away your sins took hers away as well. And so you're related to Ina by blood, by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as the scripture says, the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8, 16 and 17. So thank you. Thank each of you for all you've done and for all you do to support mission work in the Lord's church. Please remember to pray for your brothers and sisters, those sitting next to you, and those around the world. If you've not been involved in the work of the church, right now is a good time to begin. There's an unlimited amount of opportunities to participate. Let us all be encouraged to step up and be even more involved in spreading the message of Christ and of salvation. As Caleb wrote on the classroom chalkboard, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Christ commanded, "Go into all the world and carry this news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and those who don't will not." The Lord's words, "whosoever," and "every creature," point out the individual and personal nature of Christ's mission and of ours. You and I are the earthen vessels of which Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Whether in Ukraine or Montgomery or any of the 34 places that Del Rey is involved in mission work, telling others about Jesus is a personal responsibility. There are many blessings to those who are in Christ, including redemption, salvation, hope, and promise of eternal life. If you're not in Christ, not a member of His church, He wants you. His invitation, "Come unto Me," is for you. You are included in His words, "whosoever." You are included in His command to be baptized. If, as a Christian, you're having difficulty in your daily walk, remember the words of John. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Let me stop here and just say that fellowship one with another is such a rich and wonderful blessing. This group of people who travel together exemplified the bond and the special relationship that exists between brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'm so thankful to have been a part of it. If we may assist you in any way, in your obedience to the Lord, or in any other way, won't you please come now as we stand and sing.